we gotta talk about the people who talk. And
we are people talking.
We're talking about talking people on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Well, hello.
What are we talking about? The people who talk, Bradley.
We're talking about this people. It's Time Magazine article that I read last night, and it got me thinking about all the stuff we've been talking about this week. It's interesting. This week has been actually the last couple weeks have had these just like really bizarre storylines, but there are a lot of commonalities in these storylines, and this piece in Time kind of stitches them together in a way that I think will delight listeners to our show. So it gets at the problem we've been talking about for a while, and why talking heads, and I will say we've done this in a roundabout way, why talking heads particularly are so messy right now. Most recently, of course, we've got Sharon Osbourne as a messy talking head, but she's
Piers Morgan, also a messy talking
head. Well, yeah, and they sort of are like of a piece, right? So, and this lays out other things. You'll remember recently we also talked about Dr. Oz.
Yep.
And he was real messy. You'll remember we've talked about even Oprah. We've talked about a lot of talking heads.
Dr. Phil has been messy.
Yeah, well, and what was the recent story about Dr. Phil?
That he sent a couple of the young women who were on his show to some of those behavioral camps that we recently heard about from Paris Hilton, and is being asked to be held accountable for that.
Absolutely. And if you think of some other like talking head controversies lately, you'll think of people like Meghan McCain, for example. Mm-hmm. We don't really talk about The View on this show, but she's another person, another talking head who has been rather controversial. And so the piece in Time Magazine kind of lays all these things out. And so you start to ask yourself, like, why is that talking heads are so problematic right now? And I think it's because, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, right? Like, this is not just an easy conversation to have, but I think this totally swims in the lake of where we also swim, because, you know, we talk for a living, and it's because this, and I think we've said these words as much, or something akin to these words. It's not enough to just show up and talk about the biggest story of the day.
Right.
There needs to be a certain responsibility and accountability to those stories, that the people who have risen to these roles are not always capable of. So the times have changed and presented challenges to people who weren't brought up to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dr. Oz was perfect for a very specific thing at a certain moment in time in our society, meaning Dr. Oz could talk about things that we didn't question very much. Like, as an audience, we didn't think too critically about. And whether it's Dr. Oz or Sharon Osbourne, it was enough for them to just show up and be like, hey, guys, look at me. And now I think we're far more critical as an audience that you're seeing friction from some of those people who just kind of, you know, served a different time.
I think part of what I hear you saying is, and the way I feel about it, is it's not enough to just have a mouth and a personality anymore. You have to have a worthwhile perspective and something to say, and you have to seize the opportunity to use. I think we're just more informed consumers now, and we understand that when somebody's given a great platform, they have an opportunity, and to see them not use it, especially in times when we need people to be standing for something, that's where they're getting themselves in trouble, right?
And also, they're not being responsible in that responsibility.
Right. Well, so, and part of it is because they were given the platform that they were given, and basically given carte blanche to just be the personality that they are.
Well, there
without
was one,
any kind of limits.
There's one distinct difference, right, from when Sharon Osbourne became a thing to today, and that is the rise of and the power of social media as a response to those voices. Mm-hmm. So it used to be that, you know, Sharon Osbourne would show up and everybody would be like, oh, that's Sharon Osbourne. She's just going to say the darndest things. But there was not the same. I mean, there are some like legitimate, serious other reasons about why this is happening that I don't want to get too
bogged down in
down into, because it's a longer conversation and it's equally valid. But in this space, I think it's simple enough to say that the volume of people who are paying attention, you can hear the responses of people paying attention to what these talking heads are saying in a way that didn't exist before.
Right.
So which means that they have to be more thoughtful as a result. We know this in our own jobs, right? Like if you and I just opened a mic, the things we could have said 10 years ago and the things we likely did say 10 years ago, would not be appreciated in the same way. I mean, that goes without saying to a certain extent, but also in large part because of social media, like people will let you know, and it's not enough to just be like, well, I'm the loud voice. I'm allowed to say the loud things.
It used to be that you could speak in an echo chamber very easily.
Yeah.
If you were a celebrity one of these talking heads, right? There wasn't a space for dialogue. There wasn't a place to hold you accountable for the things that you said. And that's largely what social media has provided, is a reflection of what the talking heads are saying. And so they're not allowed to just be an echo chamber anymore. And some of them have risen to the occasion, but many of them have suffered at the hands of that, because rather than engage in a dialogue, they dig their heels into their perspective and try to argue their perspective without it being a conversation, because they're not accepting of the fact that there was always another voice in the room.
And I also think it really is a lesson in evolution and growth and, you know, recognizing that things change. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because I think there's this tendency to just be like, oh, there's just everything's cancel culture and you can't say the truth anymore because people, it's like, no, actually it's a pretty amazing thing. It's like the system is healing itself, because it used to be that like very few people had the ability to have their voice heard, you know, like without getting a little, you know, too like, don't play all the patriotic music in the background, but like, this is a huge responsibility that we have. You and I show up and we are boobs most days.
Yeah, so that's true.
And that is true. And that's also being a little facetious. But because I think we do recognize that there is an incredible responsibility and that we have to be very thoughtful about the words that we say. And if we're not, very often, I mean, think we just, my takeaway is, this tells us a lot about the people in question more than it does any broad sweeping changes about the audience.
Absolutely.
The audience who thought Dr. Oz was a snake oil salesman has been there the whole time. It's just that you can now hear that audience. And that's a good thing. I don't, like, sure, you can point to people who don't need to be heard as much as they're being heard. But that goes but that's always the case.
Right.
The fact that more and more people get to have their voice heard is a net benefit.
Positive. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. No voice should be able to speak completely unchecked.
Yeah.
There always should be an opportunity for challenge.
Yeah, and I would think that that is a, to use like big words that we don't normally spend a lot of time using, that is a democratization of social media, or the democratization that social media provides.
Boy, is a good thing. There's a reason we don't use those words.
Right, because I can't say that. No, but but people are like, oh, everybody's just like, no, yes, sure, those things happen, but they've always been that way. And I think we should be erring on the side of having people like Sharon Osbourne be responsible for the words that come out of their mouth. Yeah. If that's the result,
yeah.
Like nothing happened to Sharon Osbourne that she couldn't have prevented fully 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because look at all the other people that have jobs doing what she's doing
who aren't stepping in the dog's
these problems.
Business. Yeah. Also, as Maya Angelou once said, through Oprah, when we know better,
we do better.
We do better. when we come back on
she
the
She said
Colleen,
all the things.
Maya Angelou, she knew stuff.
She did. She still does, I imagine, wherever she is.
Yeah, she probably knows more than we even know.
She knows all the secrets.
Exactly. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we're going to check in with our friend Paul McGuire Grimes from Paul's trip to the movies to see what we should be watching this weekend after this on My Talk 107.1. Life was a Every Friday on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi!
We check in with our friend Paul McGuire Grimes from Paul's Trip to the Movies to see what we should be watching this weekend. Hello, Paul.
Hello. It's great to be here.
We're happy to have you. Happy Friday.
Hi, Paul.
You too. Hello.
So we have a couple Netflix offerings this week. Am I right?
Yes. So earlier this year, Netflix announced that they would be releasing a new movie every week. So I wanted to kind of take a look at some of their latest offerings. The first one came out last week, and it's called Concrete Cowboy. And there's Caleb McLaughlin, who you may know from Stranger Things, and he plays this high school kid who's been expelled kind of for the last time. So he's sent to go live with his dad, played by Idris Elba, in Philadelphia. And there he meets this group of cowboys and this tight-knit group of community that kind of matures him into the young man that he really should be.
Huh. Oh, okay.
It sounds like it sounds like an interesting, it sounds sort of like an original story, right? Like, we're so used to regurgitated stories lately.
Right, and that's kind of one of the things I really loved about it, is I was like, I haven't seen this story in a long time, because it's part coming of age, as he's really trying to mature who he is as a senior in high school, part father-son reunion, because he hasn't seen his dad in a long time. His dad, the Idris Elba character, is really a mess. Like, he has no food in the fridge. His apartment's a mess. He has a horse living in his apartment. So, it's this kind of rude awakening when he goes to Philadelphia. But then he meets these cowboys, and you're like, since when are there cowboys in the streets of Philadelphia? But it really is this community that is actually in existence, because there are members of the Fletcher Street Riders who are in this cast and are in scenes along with Idris and Caleb and Lorraine Toussaint as well. So it's fascinating to kind of get that authenticity that we don't typically get. We saw that in Nomadland as well.
Right.
It's just an interesting look at a part of, this country that we're not probably mostly familiar with.
Exactly. And that's what's great about the movies, is getting us to know a culture, a society that we're not used to, and kind of looking outside ourselves in our own community. So it's based on a book by Greg Neri, and then there's lots of life lessons in it for Cole. And Caleb McLaughlin, if you only know him as Lucas in Stranger Things, you really see what kind of actor he's going to become, because there's such vulnerabilities and very personal side really shining through. And then Jarrell Jerome, who was in Moonlight, he was in When They See Us, he won an Emmy for When They See Us, but he plays Caleb's character's kind of drug dealing cousin. So there's really this dichotomy of the street life versus this horse stable life, and I wish Jarrell's character would have been written a little bit more. Like, you find out why he's dealing, so then it's like, oh, another angle into a life that we may not know, but it kind of comes a little too late in the movie.
So how many ticket stubs for Concrete Cowboy?
I'm giving this 3.5 out of 5. Don't pass this up in your Netflix queue. If you're like, I've never heard of that, or I don't know about that, give it a try. I think you'll really be surprised by this one.
Interested. Yeah. Very interested. I'm intrigued by the way you described it. Okay, another,
well, thank you. Good.
Another Netflix offering.
You guys, this is called Thunder Force. It stars Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer. They're real-life best friends, and here they play estranged friends who are brought together kind of around the time of their high school reunion, and they form this group of superheroes to fight off this band of evil called the Miscreants.
I love the idea of this, but does it actually deliver?
No. This is one of the worst movies in Melissa McCarthy's career.
Oh, no!
I hate saying this. You got both of them. You have Bobby Cannavale, who they've worked with many times, Jason Bateman, Melissa Leo is in this, Pam Clementeef. And it's another one where it's written by Melissa McCarthy's husband, Ben Falcone. So they've done movies like Superintelligence, Life of the Party, Tammy, The Boss. And I feel like he continually writes these characters for her that are so rough around the edges, so messy, that I'm like, what? And so then she has to kind of do that shtick over and over again, and it becomes so tired and not funny. This movie wants to be that superhero buddy comedy, and it's not funny.
I'm really sad about this because there are such good names associated with this. Yeah. And for goodness gracious, isn't Octavia Spencer like an award-winning actress? Oh.
She's won an Oscar.
Yes.
Melissa Leo has won an Oscar. Melissa McCarthy's won an Emmy. And yes. I believe Jason Bateman's now won an Emmy. So, like, this is not like a C-list cast.
No.
These are all people that you should enjoy. And while I was watching, it was like, I don't feel like any of them are enjoying making this movie. It felt really like taxing on all of them, it seemed like. The jokes didn't land, the bits didn't land. It felt like it was all over the map. It didn't go far enough into being weird, or it wasn't like a spoof or a satire. Like, it's an interesting concept to begin with, and then it gets so far off the rails. Jason Bateman's character is half crab.
Pardon me, what?
Excuse
I'm
me?
Sorry, what?
Half yep. crab?
Crab.
Which yeah. half?
If you see the trait... His arms are crap.
Oh, my
God! Oh, my God.
I know, right? So, like, it's one thing if you were to set that tone from the very beginning and be like, this is going to be this over-the-top, ridiculous, superhero spoof of a movie. That would have worked. Like, Barb and Star Go to Vista Lamar is ridiculously over-the-top from the first frame to the very end. That tone could have worked with that if that's what Ben Falcone would have done with it. Mm. I would have been on board. I would have been on board with Half Crab if it would have started off that way. But it starts off being like this friendship movie that is, you know, them wanting to be superheroes and save the day. And then it gets so stupid.
Okay. How many tickets do I'm scared to ask?
You guys, 1 out of 5 tickets.
Oh, my God.
I
can hear that this pains you.
It does, because I'm one that's typically, like, pretty forgiving, and I liked Super Intelligence when other critics didn't. I like Life of the Party when other critics didn't. If you go to Rotten Tomatoes, like, I gave them positive reviews, and you can see Melissa McCarthy's, like, list of all of her movies, and all of the, like, negative, like, really low-scoring ones are typically ones that she's done with her husband, and I think that they need to kind of reevaluate what kind of projects they do together.
Oh, Paul McGuire
Grimes. I've interviewed them all.
Check Paul McGuire Grimes out on all the social. We hope you're not having a bad day on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 1071, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Hello to YouTube as well. Don't forget, you can watch us do the show on YouTube. We can tell you about Crazy Stupid Idiots every single ding dang day right there. And why don't you crush that subscribe button and you can watch us every day. All right, let's get to those Crazy Stupid Idiots.
Well then, I guess one could say that's a Crazy Stupid Idiot. Yeah! Colleen and Bradley present... CSI. It stands for Crazy Stupid Idiots.
It sure does. Why? Well, because the world is full of crazy stupid idiots. Dumb people doing dumb things repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again. Oftentimes in the state of
Florida.
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 Like where?
Arizona.
Yes.
Specifically Phoenix. Otherwise known as Phoenix.
Or Phoenix.
Oh, that's a...
That's how I always remembered how to spell it.
Phoenix. Phoenix.
Phoenix.
I want to tell you about a guy. And I don't have a name on this particular guy, but it should not be particularly hard to miss. Okay?
Okay.
So let's just say that there was an accident. According to the Arizona Department of Public Safety, troopers said, crash, bang, boom, Wednesday morning... on I-10 in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
They were called to a crash where two tractor trailer rigs had collided.
Ooh,
on the I-10 near Broadway.
Mm-mm.
And that's where things ceased being normal. So, accident. Somehow, out of that accident, emerged, like a phoenix,
hey,
a crazy, stupid idiot. Would you like to guess how a crazy, stupid idiot arose like a phoenix
from
two tractor trailer rigs that had collided?
One of the drivers was naked.
There's some nudity eventually, but no.
Oh. Was one of the drivers an X-Men?
No. Well, I guess I don't know.
Would he
be
an X-Man?
A mutant out of the Marvel comic universe.
I'm getting a no for that.
I don't know.
That's a bummer.
But I said, remember I said there was some nudity eventually? Well, here's what happened. According to DPS, a man wearing a sock, boxers, and a t-shirt jumped from the moving semi-trailer.
Hold, please. Just a one sock?
It says one sock.
Okay, was it on his foot or on his...
Well, he was wearing boxers, so I'm assuming it was not on his junk. Like, one foot had a sock on, boxers and a t-shirt. He jumped from a moving semi, ran down the shoulder, and while doing so, began removing all his clothes.
What little he had left.
Yes. He was, eventually, troopers responded by being able to catch up with him and taking him into custody. And that's when things continued to not make sense. So, like, they're called out on an accident. A guy jumps out of the car with half his clothes on, removes the rest of those clothes. Troopers catch up to them, and they're like, what's going on? Well, apparently the guy said that he'd hitched a ride unbeknownst to the driver.
Ooh. He was a stowaway.
Yeah, but... how does that work exactly? He then ran down the shoulder to take his clothes off to get away. I don't know why. DPS says that the guy then pounded on the semi driver's back window to tell him he wanted off the truck and may have tried to get into the passenger compartment when he jumped off. I have no idea what this is about or why there was no clothes. But, man, that would have been a sight to behold.
No kidding.
Like, you're like, oh, my God, an accident. Oh, my God, a naked guy running down the street. What?
How did this all happen? Then try to put all that together.
Yeah. I don't know that we ever came to any sort of conclusion.
But I think we know why the accident happened. Because if you're not expecting somebody to be pounding on your back window and trying to crawl in, you might be a little bit startled by that.
That could be, although it's not clear that that happened before the accident. It sounded like that happened after.
All very frightening.
But again, we shall never know.
We won't know. Let's go to California, shall we?
Let's.
All right. We're going to go to a seafood restaurant. Are you hungry?
I mean, always.
Right? And you would eat some seafood right now, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to a restaurant called Giovanni's Fish Market.
Okay.
And we're not going to meet the perpetrator here because he has not been caught. But what we do know is the perpetrator has crabs.
Oh.
He's got crabs.
Like he got a plate of crab claws?
Like he showed up in the middle of the night at Giovanni's Fish Market.
With crabs?
And he stole live crabs.
Oh, I thought you meant he had like a venereal disease.
Yeah, I know. That's what looked at. Do you see what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if that was real.
No.
Okay.
I mean, he might have crabs. I don't know, but I do know that he has crabs because he pulled up in the middle of the night outside of this Morro Bay restaurant, Giovanni's Fish Market. There is a tank. Now, I don't, who's the crazy stupid idiot here? The tank full of crabs is outside the restaurant. So this guy rolls up and he opens up the tank and he takes five crabs out of the tank. And when I say five, I mean 15. He stole 15 crabs.
Why did you say five?
Because I saw the five and I neglected the one. Those 15 crabs, by the way, were worth about $500.
That's some spendy crabs.
I know. That's some expensive crabs. And
why are they
tank,
so expensive, I wonder?
Because, I don't know, they're probably fancy crabs.
Like they wear tuxedos.
I had those once.
Yes. Okay. That tank can hold about 150 crabs. And this guy helped himself to 15.
How did he maneuver 15 crabs on his person?
Well, he rolled up in a car.
So he just like shucked them in the back seat?
Something like that. He must have had a crab collecting receptacle that he was ready to put them in. They don't know why this particular guy stole the crabs, but they assume that it probably was for like a party because this happened right before Easter. So they're thinking the guy wanted to have some Easter crabs with his family, like we all do, right? Little family crabs.
Crab special.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Gather around.
Get some butter.
Let's have some crabs.
Oh, yum.
Any whoosie whatsie. They can't find him. They don't know who did it. But
did they get the crabs?
They do. No. Oh. They did not save the crabs.
Oh, no.
This guy got off scot-free with crabs. And they do have surveillance footage, though, and the public has been made aware. And if you'd like to watch this guy walk right up to the crab tank in the middle of the night, and you can see the little crabs like...
Oh.
Snap, how did he snap, not snap, get, snap, like...
I know.
Pinched?
Pinched.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. What I'm learning from this video is this guy, he wasn't a stranger to crabs. He's worked with crabs before. He's handled crabs in his life. What?
How many times can you say crabs?
It's just a great story. He stole the crabs.
I really do want crabs.
Crabs would be great.
Love crabs. Drawn butter.
Mm.
Deep fried soft shell crab.
Okay. But I guess, I don't know. Why would you go through the trouble of stealing 15 crabs?
People do that all the time. Do you not remember?
When you could just
remember
get some imitation crab meat right there in the refrigerator section. What?
That's not crab.
Well, there is not. Do not compare crab delight.
He's being rude
with actual
to these crabs.
Crab meat.
Have you guys watched the video? If you watch the video, you see the little...
I'm not going to do that.
The crabs are trying to scurry away, and he's just throwing them in his tub.
And now we know anytime that anyone is invited over to Colleen's house,
you're not
and she's
getting
like,
real crab.
I've got crabs, guys! Nope.
No, that's just seafood delight, which is pressed fish and sugar.
Why are you judging? It tastes good.
I love it, but it ain't crabs.
Yeah, I'm not going to serve that at my house. Frankly, I can't serve crabs either because my husband has a life-threatening shellfish allergy. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's actually why you should eat Crab Delight, because there's legit no shellfish in Crab Delight.
Mm.
All right, let's go to Florida.
Florida.
Where they have plenty of crabs. And I want to tell you about a 24-year-old lady. Her name is Casey Cuoco. And Casey...
Isn't she on that...
No, that's Kaylee Cuoco.
Okay.
And we don't like her.
Because she dated Henry Cavill. And we're still not over it.
And we're still not over it. But that's
fine. When I
fine.
Say we, I mean Bradley, but I
been married
I
like two
you.
Times over since then.
Yeah. But, you know, we're still holding a grudge. It's fine.
You know, like, you get animated about what animates you. Okay. I'll be over here in my... bitter corner.
Fine, let's go back to Casey Cuoco.
No, her name is Casey Cuoco. She's 24 years young, and she was arrested on hump day this week, that is Wednesday, in her residence in Largo, Florida, for doing something stupid.
Mm.
And it involved drugs and an Applebee's. Actually, she's a bartender at Applebee's, so that has really nothing to do with it. But she did some stuff with drugs, which got her in trouble. Mm-mm. But that's not enough. For crazy, stupid, idiot status, you need to do something plus drugs. You can't just do the drugs because that's regular garden variety criminal behavior, and we don't talk about that on our show.
Yeah, that's not going to get you featured on the Colleen and Bradley show. Thank you very much.
What was next level about her drags?
And it happened at her house.
How do you know that?
Well, because you said she was at her residence.
Oh, sure. Details.
In Largo. Okay, so I just wanted to be clear. She wasn't doing drugs at the Applebee's.
No, she was not
home drugs.
Doing it with an awesome blossom or
okay.
something.
Okay, home drugs. Okay, so she was at home doing her drugs. And, I don't know.
It involves Dr. Seuss.
Oh, did she buy one of those banned books?
Yes, she bought a banned book. You stupid idiot. No.
She was hallucinating and thought she was being chased by thing one and thing two.
Ooh, that'd be scary.
Right?
That is probably true, but that is not a verified part of this particular story.
Okay.
In fact, she's facing a felony child neglect charge after police found cocaine and a cut straw on top of her 3-year-old son's copy of Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
She was arrested after they found the drugs in her house, along with the bump, quote unquote, of suspected cocaine. Cops seized some marijuana, and a baggie of, quote, pills. These were easily accessible to her child, and therefore she is facing felony child abuse.
Ooh. That was an aggressive one.
Yeah. No, she does work at the Applebee's. She's in jail now, so she's not going to make it to her shift tomorrow night.
So I hope they're listening and they know.
Yes. Hey, Largo Applebee's.
Casey Cuoloco is not coming to work.
It makes me sad, so I'm sad, but don't be stupid.
No, don't be. Yeah. I mean, because if you are going to be stupid, guess where you're going to show up?
On Crazy Stupid Idiots.
Thank you. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, it's time to play a little game. That game is called The Throwback.
What?
We'll do that after this on My Talk 107.1.